Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I somehow this weekend got off on this weird tangent of rebuilding my website. I'll throw a couple URLs into the chat room very, very quickly. One is called ncweb.nwcg.gov. It'll give you the latest on the fires. My website is at www.exopoliticsohio.us. I'm in the process of restoring it and rebuilding it. A monumental task with all the notes I've got up there. Don't know why I decided this weekend just to do it. Difficult topic for me this evening, discussing the fires in the West. I have purposely not been able to talk about it all of 2017 because it's just a very disturbing topic. There's two major fires right now, probably more. The biggest one is called the Chetco Bar Fire. It's in Oregon. Supposedly, it was started by a lightning strike. It is, the last information I have is it was only 5% contained as of, that was a pretty good while back, September 10th. It's so gigantic, and you've got to look on YouTube to be able to appreciate this. This fire is so gigantic. It lights up the entire sky. And it looks like something from a science fiction movie. And there's a 60-minute show that they've just come out with. Or it's probably a little bit older. It's probably not super recent. It's called The Age of Megafires, the 60-minute show. And we are now seeing fires many times greater than anything we've seen in the past. The movie Megafires, you should check it out. One of the causes of these fires is we don't let the smaller fires burn anymore to get rid of the undergrowth. This was a mistake that we made in our forest management. The Meyer material, the prophecies, and the Henoch prophecies in 2:15 say, as already mentioned, enormous natural catastrophes and rolling walls of fire and violent hurricanes will rage across America. So we're there. While in addition, all the terrible effects of war bring thousandfold death, destruction, and annihilation. The wars haven't started yet. It says, though, in the next line in Contact Report 2:15, America's largest cities will be absolutely destroyed and firestorms will cause great disaster and misery. So we're in a very, very strange place today. I was, again, talking about the Chetco Bar Fire, which is in a wilderness area in Oregon called Kalamposas. The other thing that's very important, which I think we've done wrong, is we've allowed these forests to overgrow. It seems that meadows are very important for keeping moisture in the soil and it also plays a role in keeping the fire small. In many places in the West, we've lost those meadows, and we have an overgrowth of trees, and they suck so much of the water out of the soil, it creates the dry condition for these mega fires. And the other thing that's going on, of course, is the incredible overpopulation of the people of the earth, where we have destroyed many, many forests. And the forests moderate the weather, and now that these forest fires have come, we're going to have even more extreme weather. The other great fire that's going on besides the Chetco Bar fire is the Rice Ridge fire, which is in Montana in the Lolo National Forest. It's burnt over 100,000 acres at this point. I'm going to take a quick look at the ncweb.nwcg.gov. There are a whole series of smaller fires, but there are some very big ones. There is another one called the Central Washington BAER fire, which is 180,000 acres at burn. I've been talking about the Chetco Bar fire. So I'm going to look at a few of these others quickly. The Rice Ridge fire, which I just talked about. And I think this one may be slowing down. So I've got a whole series of clips here. Okay, and it says here on the NC Web on the government site that the Rice Ridge fire, this will be the final post. So maybe they've got it contained. I'd like to think that. Okay, I'm just going to slam through some. I've got a lot of very interesting clips here. I think this will give you an interesting perspective on what the people are feeling that are going through these fires. People, of course, are losing their homes and going through all sorts of hardship because of these fires. Just bear with me for a minute here. I'll play a lot of clips here, so that we're going to be in clip mode for a while. Here we go.
That's right, Kristen. On Saturday, Cecilia Worlton and her husband lost their home to the nearly 100,000-acre Chetco Bar fire. Thankfully, they were able to get a majority of their important belongings out of the home before it went up in flames. But Cecilia told me, even though they were prepared, they were still incredibly shocked.
That's our front room on this side. And then you go past that, and there was a staircase upstairs, and then beyond that was the dining room.
20 years up in flames.
In my heart, I did not think we were going to get it this time.
The Worltons have lived in Brookings for decades, and they've dealt with fire near their home before.
Now, we went through this in 2002. We completely evacuated the house then. Of course, we weren't hit.
This time, they were hit. The flames caught their home, and it was gone.
I think we were both numb. And shocked.
Cecilia wasn't home when she got the call to evacuate. She reached out to her family for help.
I gave them a list, and they fulfilled the list and then called me and said, what more do you want us to take?
Removing memories was the easy part. Convincing Cecilia's husband, Lane, to abandon his home was harder.
He wasn't even going to leave and find...
The nation's top priority fire is consuming forest land in Curry County tonight. Fire agencies from 19 states are on the scene battling the Chetco Bar fire. The city of Brookings remains on a level one evacuation alert. And right now, the fire covers about 160 square miles, about 5 miles northeast of Brookings.
Different after all these years. I'm always a little late, it seems. But I'll be home by 9 o'clock or so. It's going to be 100 or 101 today. And got lots of that smoke from the biggest fire in the nation right now, the Chetco Bar Fire, over those mountains about 75, 80 miles from us. Just jumped a deer over on that hillside. Didn't get a look at it. Just a glimpse of it going up through the trees. The air quality is really bad right now from the Chetco Bar Fire, which, by the way, started weeks ago. And when the Forest Service was first aware of it, it was 10 acres, and they did nothing to put it out. And now it's over 100,000 acres and is less than 5 miles from the city of Brookings, Oregon. And that town is being evacuated. I used to live over there in Brookings. I used to be the police chief before I came to Rogue River. Bow hunting trip today, 10-day bow hunt for mule deer in eastern Oregon. That's now canceled because I have to stay here and take care of the dogs and the house, and this is just absolutely a travesty. There's just no other way to put it.
It's just, it's kind of remarkable now what people's attitude on this whole thing has been.
And you have to hang on to this. You must hang on to this because there are times that, when it comes right down to it, rules for radicals works. You hate to admit this, but it does.
Exactly. And I've told a few people that, somebody once gave the advice, you never let a crisis go to waste. Good idea. I think I'll take that.
Yeah, Rahm Emanuel.
Yep.
And you have all these people out there that are talking about what we're experiencing right now as being part of, here we go, climate change. And yet we've had hotter summers. We've had cooler summers. This is about fuel load. This has been about an actual choice being made by humans in Southern Oregon that has led to what we're experiencing right now. This is no accident. And this is where we must be truthful with one another. And people who have promoted, no kind of thinning, no logging, no real management must be held to account.
Yeah, and then when your policies fail, as they're going to, climate change and a few other things they've managed to drag up, including one that I'm personally very offended by, makes a real convenient, literally smoke screen for what actually happened here. But
hey, well, you're here.
As of this morning, the Chetco Bar Fire had scorched more than 102,000 acres, about 5 miles northeast of Brookings. The governor activated about 125 additional Oregon National Guard troops yesterday evening. NBC5's Elizabeth Ruiz joins us right now in the newsroom tonight. Elizabeth, I understand that they are not immediately going there to put out the flames.
No, they're not going to the fire lines just yet. For now, they are assisting law enforcement. Story of a battle against flames told in the series of stunning pictures. The U.S. Forest Service documenting the fight against the Chetco Bar Fire.
This fire has grown pretty big in the past week.
Wednesday evening, Governor Kate Brown announced the mobilization of 125 additional Oregon National Guard service members to respond to the more than 100,000-acre fire.
We were able to hit the ground running, and so really it seems like a really good working oiled machine right now, getting the firefighters out there to do the job that they need to do and us assisting with the law enforcement agencies.
Gate goes up to where my landlord lives. The main road is right down here. And it's Tuesday. Yesterday was pretty good. We weren't real smoky or anything, so felt pretty positive. Today, we are smoked in. been a lot of emergency vehicles still going up and down the main road here. And I don't know what's going on right now. Looking at the map this morning on the website, I can't really see that it's come our way at all, but it has potentially spread south, which is kind of away from us. That's a good thing. But as you see, it's really smoky here, which makes me worry that maybe it's going to be headed our way.
The problem, the warning is fake. NBC5's Emily Beal explains in tonight's top story at 6. Emily? Kristen, the Chetco Bar fire has forced dozens of people from their homes. Just yesterday, a level 3 order went into effect in parts of Josephine County. The fire has the community on edge, which is why firefighters say scammers may be preying on your fear. What seems like a warning to keep you and your family safe,
I would assume it was because my husband was on oxygen,
could be a scam in the making.
Something going on and then these idiots coming and doing that.
Illinois Valley Fire District says scammers may be calling people warning of fake evacuation notices. Their goal may be to make you leave so they can loot your home.
The chief was notified this morning that somebody in the O'Brien area had reported that there was a fire marshal's office calling him to evacuate.
Cindy Willis heard about the scam calls. She lives in Selma, where there's a level 1 evacuation notice in place. And she...
Fires across the state are so bad tonight. Oregon is now home to the top priority wildfire in the whole country.
We are talking about the Chetco Bar Fire, and it would gain megafire status at 100,000 acres, and it's almost there. More than 1,000 firefighters are on the line, 55 of them sent down from Portland to help protect homes.
We have team coverage tonight. Chief Meteorologist Matt Zaffino is talking about the weather conditions in the coming days that could make things worse. But we begin with KGW's Nina Melhoff. And Nina, these are burning out of control.
Yeah, it really is, Laurel, and that is why the biggest priority is to the government right now. They haven't been able to stop it from any side so far. Even the start of school down in Brookings has been put off because it's so dangerous.
The plume is gigantic. The terrain, some of the steepest in the state. This area of southern Oregon is known for devastating wildfires that burn for a long time. But now we're getting a close-up view of what's been lost. Besides thousands of trees, 5 homes outside Brookings gone, reduced to chimney bricks.
My daughter put it very well online in that it wasn't necessarily the material things. It's home. They have lost their home. They grew up in this home.
In just 6 days, the Chetco Bar Fire went from 5,000 to 98,000 acres. It's called in city firefighters like Tommy Schroeder and 55 others from Portland to stand guard at 3,400 more homes to try and save them.
All we can do is put our heads down and work really hard down there.
This weather has really helped the firefighters.
Cooler temperatures and lower humidity is welcome at the Fire Coordination Center in downtown Portland, where the map of Oregon shows all the big blazes. Fire engines and manpower is stretched thin across the country this time of year. They are in charge of dispatching out crews.
Every age of mega fires. Forest infernos 10 times bigger than the fires we're used to seeing. To find out why this is happening, we went out on the fire line to see the burning of the American West. Last fire season was the worst in recorded history. This year is already a close second with 2 months to go. More than 8 million acres have burned this year already. These are the men and women facing the flames, elite federal firefighters called hotshots. Nationwide, there are 92 hotshot crews of 20 members each. We found these New Mexico hotshots in the Salmon River Mountains of Idaho. They'd set up a camp in a burned-out patch of forest with fire raging all around. They were hitting the day exhausted, halfway through a 14-day shift.
If you guys want to go down and evaluate...
I'll take myself and a couple of scouts and we'll go down there and take a look.
I'm anticipating a mess today.
Oh, yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
They found the mess they expected. The valley was engulfed in smoke. The flames blew through the firebreak lines they dug the day before.
We were trying to turn the corner yesterday and that's when it kind of blew out.
And I think we got more ground over here that's been taken. So
Any questions?
No question this day, the fire won. It surged across the mountain, forcing the hotshots to evacuate. All across the West, crews are playing defense, often pulling back to let acres burn, but standing firm to save communities. One stand this season came in August at Ketchum, Idaho. Forecasters said it was 99% certain that Ketchum would be lost if nothing was done. Fire crews came from across the nation, local, state, federal, 1,700 working round the clock from a mountainside camp.
From outer space, they can now see the fire that is raging near Los Alamos and threatening structures.
If you wanted to destroy frequent fire forests like ponderosa pine, dry mix conifer forest, you couldn't do it much better than the way we did it. Those of us who are here now have a responsibility. We always say to try to make it better. Frankly, it's getting worse.
We need to get busy and get to work because we've really only got the next 20 years to maybe make a difference up here.
Few places mark time as dramatically as the Grand Canyon, but our western forests have been around for millions of years. They've survived broad changes in temperature, drought, even ice ages. Today, these ecosystems are in widespread decline, facing perhaps their greatest challenge yet.
We're at a point now where forests are very fragile, and it's a scary time.
Forested wildlands of the western United States have long inspired pioneers, writers, and scientists. Vivid reports from early explorers describe deep canyons, majestic pines, knee-deep grasses, lush wetlands, and fertile soil. However, just a century later, it seems our western forests are under attack from every direction. Armies of bark beetles, devastating disease outbreaks, and unstoppable infernos threaten the beauty, function, and life of these important wildlands and the people who depend upon them.
Nature is more powerful than any man-made bomb. More ferocious and destructive than any army. Every day, she claims more victims, showing no mercy and taking no prisoners.
Fire's coming this way, Chris. And it's moving.
I'm Chris Terrell. As a filmmaker and adventurer, I'm fascinated by extreme situations. I never use a film crew. I prefer to go it alone, just me and my camera. And now I want to confront nature head on, take my camera into her very jaws.
Out in a hailstorm like you have never seen. It's coming down at 100 miles an hour. Not that hurt.
I want to meet the people who live in the path of killer natural forces.
Oh my God!
Who choose to play Russian roulette with nature at her most trigger-happy.
It can be beautiful one minute and then kill you the next. Just don't think it can't happen to you because it can.
This time, I fear for my life when I come face to face with that most vicious and unforgiving of storms, the deadly firestorm.
Well, this is Southern California, and for many, a sort of paradise on earth. But this paradise can very quickly turn into a living hell.
It's early autumn 2008. the height of the fire season, and the indications are that it could be one of the worst on record.
With the high winds, the low humidity, and of course the hot, hot temperatures, an extremely dangerous fire condition, which is going to last throughout the weekend. 30 to 60 mile an hour winds with gusts up to 80 miles an hour are expected.
A long, hot summer has turned Southern California into a powder keg. Wildfires are springing up everywhere, which...
Wow, that's a lot to absorb. And some of those films are a little older. The one was from 2008. But this has been something that's been going on a while. It's very, very disturbing. I'll run through some of the fires we've talked about in the past. 2013, the Rim Fire burned 402 square miles in Northern California, nearly destroyed the Yosemite National Park's sequoia trees, almost wiped out the water supply of San Francisco. The Pony Complex fire in 2013 burned 149,000 acres. The Funny River fire in Alaska burned 193,000 acres. That's 302 square miles. The Carlton Complex fire in 2014, which at that time was the largest state in the fire's history, burned 390 square miles, an area four times the size of Seattle. That's the one thing that we can't really, at least I can't really adequately even wrap my mind around, the area, the total area that's destroyed. The Fort McMurray wildfire, which occurred in 2016 on May 1st, started, destroyed 2,400 homes. It was the largest fire. It was in Canada, 1.5 million acres. The San Bernardino fire was one that was not that big. I mean, I guess it was fairly large, 58 square miles, burned 105 homes. That was 2016. We've seen Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Maria in the past couple months. Hurricane Harvey dumped 51 inches of rain, flooded Houston. Hurricane Irma had about 7 million people in Florida without power. 650,000 people had to evacuate. Hurricane Maria has devastated Puerto Rico this year with about 3.4 million people without power, many without water, no electricity, no fuel, no cell service, very little fresh water, about $80 billion. Worth of damage. So this is the reality that's going on all around us. It's called the dangers of the third millennium. And our friend in Switzerland has been talking about this for about 50 years. And he says, if you human beings of Earth do not turn to the truth of creation and its laws and recommendations in what is now the third millennium, if you do not turn to better and good things, and do not follow the true rules of life as they exist in creational laws and recommendations, then all evil events of all kinds will broaden an ever worsening succession. So that's what we're seeing. We don't follow the creational natural laws like the law of love. We don't follow the creational natural law of harmony, which says we need to have harmony in our thinking. We don't follow the creational natural law of striving, which says that we have to evolve our consciousness and work and strive to improve ourselves in all ways. We do not follow the creational natural laws that deal with population. We should have about 500 million people on this planet. We have 9 billion. We do not follow the creational natural laws of reincarnation. It's not taught. So we don't know the meaning of our life. We don't understand the importance of it. We do not follow, we do not understand the law of abundance and prosperity, which we will all have if we follow the other creational natural laws. And we do not even understand the law of intactness, which says if you follow the other creational natural laws, also at birth, every living thing will be birthed in a in a healthy, whole way. The danger of catastrophe falling on us now is higher than it's ever been. We've also reached the stage where the clash of industrial nations could occur. It's in the Meyer information, it's called the third global conflagration. Also, what we're seeing is the removal of self-determination. Our leaders are taking away all of our ability for independent thinking. In other words, to evolve your consciousness, you have to be able to think things through yourself. But now we have the loss of self-determination through mind control. Our freedoms are being taken away, gun control, loss of freedom of speech, mandatory vaccinations. There's an effort to dumb down people. People are becoming more indifferent toward one another, more mistrustful of one another, emotionless, disinterested, indolent, and obtuse. That's one thing I would often emphasize. People become indolent, too lazy to find things out, and obtuse, very slow to understand. So this is causing human relationships to be ruined. And people will start to feel anger because of this. And in the third millennium, it's called a coming confusion and maliciousness, which will spread all over the earth. And that's the state we're in. So how can we fight against this difficulty that we're facing? Well, one thing we have to learn is the purposefulness of our thoughts. And you can have a conscious or an unconscious purposefulness in your thoughts. The conscious mind is your awareness at the present moment. Sometimes we're said to have three minds. A conscious mind, a subconscious, and an unconscious. The conscious mind is your objective and thinking mind. It really is said not to have a memory, because the conscious mind only holds on to one thought at a time. It does analysis and it makes decisions. Now, the subconscious mind or the preconscious mind deals with things that are a little more profound. You know, you understand things at the subconscious level sometimes before you understand in your conscious level. And the subconscious and unconscious mind sometimes have primitive wishes, instinctual things in them. And sometimes the unconscious mind has feelings, thoughts, and urges that are outside of our conscious awareness. And the unconscious mind is often depicted as an iceberg, with we just have the very top. Everything above the water represents our conscious awareness. And everything below the water represents the unconscious. And the rest of the information is outside of our conscious awareness. So one of the things that we're studying is how to control our thoughts so that our lives will go well, so that we can deal with the problems of life. And there's a book called Omphalan Murado that Billy has written. It's not been completely translated, but it says that Earth humans are prisoners of themselves and that we are full of unrighteousness, ill humor, selfishness, and self-pity. So the goal here is to look inward and to evaluate our thoughts, to be magnanimous, to be generous, to be forgiving, to learn that our thoughts have incredible power. So it's actually a good thing to have visions and fantasies, to be a visionary, to be enthusiastic about things. And we should never insult the dreamers, the visionaries in our society. It's very, very important. But don't let your thoughts drift. Take the helm and steer your thinking, because it's neutral, positive thinking that keeps you in a state of prosperity. And there are about 11 things that now that I've found, 11 categories of information that deal with what neutral positive thinking is. And if you tell yourself, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm cheerful, I'm relaxed, I'm enthusiastic, I'm thankful, I'm in harmony. Now you're in neutral positive thinking. Tell yourself, I persist, I persevere, I endure, I am calm. And I've found that saying these things out loud can break the flow of unhealthy thinking. It's good to start with the idea of confidence, too, because I think a lot of our problematic thinking occurs because of a lack of confidence. Confidence is knowing that you can trust yourself. Confidence can be described as a belief in your ability to succeed. So it's important to have confidence. It's important to have optimism, because optimism is also something that will really help you solve your problem. Optimism is a hopefulness and a confidence about the future. And you don't have to be a clown to be an optimist. You can be a very grounded person and be an optimist, because really we have the negative and the positive that exist together. These are two powers which belong together. They shouldn't be separated, because one is dependent on the other. So never separate the negative and positive. Remember, don't try to get rid of the negative in your life. Add positive. Don't try to fight the negative, because that will lead to what's called the sartung, which is being out of control of the good human nature. We're provided with the negative and the positive from the very beginning of our existence. And the path to evolution is pretty long, and it's a challenge. We must complement each other at all times in the duty of life. And just like one gender can't exist without the other, we need a negative and positive pole. So we should always maintain the neutral or the neutral positive thinking. You know, one of the most important things is also remembering to be a friend to yourself, and always fulfilling your duty to yourself. And that means taking the time to clean yourself up, never allow yourself to appear ragged. What does it mean to fulfill your duty to yourself? Well, let me read a little bit here, and this will make things clear, hopefully. Unfortunately, the human being generally pays too little attention or no attention at all to his or her duties to him or herself, and to his or her own duties. And many human beings may ask, in total unknowledge, well, one's duty to oneself actually is. Practice honesty. That's a duty to yourself. Practice benevolence, modesty, humanity. Forgive yourself. Don't allow any thoughts of inferiority. No self-abuse. This is all part of being a friend to yourself. Don't hang around away from your own home in strange places. Never neglect yourself and esteem your own friendship to yourself. Be caring, open, and honest towards your inner friend, to yourself, and to your own eye. Constantly concern yourself with never turning your back on yourself, and thus neither on your inner friend, who you will certainly always need. You'll always need yourself as your friend. Remember, you've lived before. You know, the Meyer material teaches about reincarnation, so you have a whole hierarchy of previous personalities that are different manifestations of yourself. You have a spirit form which exists in the middle of your brain in an area called the superior colliculus, and this is the area where sight comes into play. And it's interesting, you always see the light in the eyes, particularly in animals. It's real easy to see. And that's where the spirit form is. The spirit form is in the superior colliculus in the middle of the brain, and it's tiny. It's no bigger than the head of a pin, but it is your innermost creational self. It never dies. It is recording, so to speak, everything that you do. It never sleeps. It will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong if you've learned to pay attention to it. It comes into the body of a child 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. And it brings in the subconscious as well as in the spirit form. It brings in all of the evolutive values from your previous lives. So stored in that subconscious mind and that programmed into that subconscious mind and also stored into your spirit form are all the things you've learned from your previous lives in terms of confidence, optimism, love, discernment, logic, wisdom. All these things are in your spiritual consciousness and in your subconscious, and they will impulse your material consciousness. So you will get guidance, and it's easier the next time around because of that inner impulse, that inner guiding. Your inner creational, innermost self is your guiding light, and the spirit form brings with it a new consciousness. We get a new material consciousness each lifetime. Your new material consciousness consists of a new personality, a new conscious mind, a new subconscious mind, a new unconscious mind. In the spirit realm, you have every spirit form has what's called the overall consciousness block, which is a storage bank in the other world. And what happens in the time between lifetimes is all your previous life's experiences are evaluated. They're distilled down into their neutral, positive, energetic values, and they're absorbed by your spirit form, all the essences of all these things that you've learned in terms of confidence and wisdom and thankfulness and enthusiasm and discernment. And they're absorbed by the spirit form. Typically, it takes a lifetime and a half in the spirit realm to absorb all of these values. Now, one thing that's happening here on the earth, because we have 9 billion people, is that the spirit form gets pulled back into the material too soon before it has finished absorbing all of these values. And when that occurs, it is much more difficult for the male personality to form properly. And I suspect that's why we have so much transgenderism and homosexuality and things like this, is because of the imbalance in the spirit realm, which people get pulled into life too soon before they're prepared. The other thing that occurs is we're too dependent on parents. And this, again, can happen because of the imbalance of not enough time in the spirit world, in the fine matter world, where we spend time creating a new personality, absorbing all the information from the previous life, and preparing for the next physical life. If you are a normal Earth human, your spirit form is about 4 million years old. It has been reincarnating for quite a long time. So there are things that you know subliminally because your spirit form is 4 million years old. Now we spend 40 to 60 million years reincarnate into physical, completely physical human bodies. And we do that up through five different stages of evolution. I think it's primitive life, rational life, intelligent life, real life, and then life and creational wisdom, which is stage five. That's where the Pleiaren right now. These are the people that Billy has had contact with, Edward Albert Meyer, our 80-year-old friend from Switzerland, who has written something like 50 books. And a few of the books that I've been talking about tonight include The Way to Live, The Might of Thoughts, and a book called The Psyche, which if you read The Psyche, the first 20 or 30 pages deal with the difference between the material consciousness and the spiritual consciousness. Your psyche controls and administers the material consciousness. The gemut controls and administers the spiritual consciousness. Let me read a little bit from page 30 here that talks about the age of our, how long we evolve through these evolutionary values. The human being must have already lived through his or her seemingly endless reincarnations of 42 million years. That's the 40 to 60 million years. However, this is not true for any human life on Earth. So none of us here on the Earth are that old in terms of our spirit. Because the human beings of Earth themselves, those created on Earth, the spirit forms that that incarnated for the first time here on the earth, none of us are that old. The human beings of Earth themselves, those created on the earth, are still so young that regarding their evolution, they are only beginning to change their last baby shoes. While those human beings living on Earth who originally came from the far reaches of outer space, in other words, who came here 389,000 years ago when the people from Lyra Vega came here, or came here 130,000 years ago under the civilization of Pelagon, who came from the Pleiaren system, or came here, I believe it was like 130,000 years ago for the people in Atlantis and Lemuria. It was 150, I guess, for Pelagon, now that I'm trying to remember all this. But anyway, those people who came to these ancient civilizations that were on the earth, these civilizations that built the great pyramids, these civilizations that had the great high technology hundreds of thousands of years ago. If you're one of those people, and you may be, maybe why you're interested in a show like this, if you're one of those people, you could be, your spirit form could be 8 to 12 million years old. Let me read here. It says, while those human beings living on Earth who originally came from the far reaches of space only have a total age of 8 to 12 million years. Now, what does that mean? That means that our reincarnational patterns will not finish on the Earth. We will eventually leave the Earth and finish our evolution elsewhere. The human being of Earth is not yet in the position to even understand all of his own feelings. Let me continue here. To comprehend all the nuances and forms of feelings, these will remain inaccessible to human beings for a very long time. When the human being of Earth, when he can even understand all the nuances of his own feelings, he or she will already have long left the Earth and will be living somewhere on different planets, because the blue planet will not exist for as long as the human beings who needs her for their evolution. Think about that. That's a very humbling thing. And now that we're seeing the tremendous fires and the tremendous hurricanes. But I think when the Meyer material gets really accepted, that the Earth will rejuvenate as we lower our population and we learn the correct maintenance of our forests. I think a big problem with these forest fires is that we're not maintaining our forests properly. We've let them overgrow, so there's not the meadows anymore, not the grasslands, which those grasslands can sometimes be wet and marshy, which will naturally stop the fires. And we have to learn to pull out the dead, to pull out the dead wood. So, I mean, the West is so dried out, and I'm not saying that some of this isn't because of weather control. It may very well be. There are so many possibilities of what's going on. It's just a little bit staggering. One of the important things in the spiritual teaching is something called empfinden. And this is something related to the gemut, which controls the spirit form, controls the thoughts and the feelings of the spirit form. And finding is a spiritual process. And it's related to you being able to sense what are called the swinging waves. And when you can sense the radiating love of creation, that's part of the empfinden. So let me read a little bit about this. This is one of the spiritual processes that goes on as you start to evolve a little bit more. The empfindung not only influences the entire spiritual mentality block, but it also works across into the material realm, indeed directly into the half material psyche. So your psyche is half material and half spiritual. As one of the many factors of the feeling origination, so the empfinden is related to the feelings. Obviously, the competence and the energy of the empfindung also suffices to participate considerably in the spiritual consciousness, as is also the case with the feeling, which participates in the life and the workings of the material consciousness from out of the half-material realm of the psyche. The empfindungen, as it's called, solely occurs in the spirit realm. So eventually, if you're not capable already to do this, you will be able to have this fine feeling, this fine spiritual perception, to sense the radiating love of creation and to pick up on these swinging waves. It's something that is also, I think, talked about in the Goblet of Truth. And there's a paragraph that's entitled What the Truth Knows to Say in the Goblet of Truth, and it says, rivers, stones, plants, bushes, trees, everything that crawls, and flies on the earth is a life form with a spirit form. And these spirit forms are on a journey through time that involve many, many lifetimes. And the death is just the passage into the world of pure spirit. And many of these creatures are aware of each other and are connected by psychic swinging waves. And that's why I like to play at the beginning of the show the sound of all of those nature sounds, because I think all these creatures at some level are aware of each other, and that's why they make these sounds and they communicate with one another. These are from the swinging waves that radiate throughout creation. So let's listen to that a little bit more. So all these creatures in the forest that you hear are connected by these psychic swinging waves. It comes from the spirit form, and they radiate outward. And we humans are, once again, will once again learn to be sensitive enough to use these psychic swinging waves. And let me read this one little passage, and then we'll call it an evening. That reminds us of where the power of the thinking comes from. The power that the thinking uses as an impetus does not stem from the human being himself or herself. It streams in the spirit from there into the consciousness, coming out of the unmeasurable expanses of space of the universe. So your power of your thinking comes from the universe itself. I hope you've enjoyed this. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great evening.